later.
Good.
Are you good to move on?
Are we on?
Yep.
Okay, we'll take the motion on the certification pieces. We start with 13-039 on page four. Yeah, on page four of the form.
Just thought I'd wait for Tom.
Call through.
Case 13-039, I'll make a motion to find insufficient evidence for all matters presented.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention?
So that's four.
Five.
Okay, 16-004, I'll make a motion to find insufficient evidence under OAR 801, 030, 0010, sub 1, sub B, due professional care.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? 18-015.
I'll make a motion in case 18-015 to find insufficient evidence of a preliminary violation under OAR 801 030 0010 sub 1 sub B professional care when providing bookkeeping and tax services to his client.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstention? No. 16-016.
I'll make a motion in case 16-016 to find insufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B due professional care or OAR 801-030-0010 sub 4 tax standards for not preparing an extension.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? 16-037.
16-037, I will make a motion to find insufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0010 sub 1 sub B due professional care for errors made on the client's 2013 tax return.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Moving on.
Case 16-042, I will make a motion to find insufficient evidence of a violation for all matters presented.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Okay, 17-005, I will make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under ORS 673-320 sub 3 use of the CPA designation for holding out as a CPA during the time when the license was left.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any extensions?
Did I hear five votes?
Yes. Nobody abstained or opposed.
Okay, 17-005, I'll make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0010-5, other professional standards, 2017 to 2018 editions for issuing financial statements that were not in accordance with current standards.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
For board guidance, I thought we CPE was clearly needed. Anything else in a
low?
Yeah, I think I'd be not too much on money here. I think it's more of a issue of education.
Yeah, I mean, I think the licensee demonstrated some level of acceptance that they had done some things wrong and they're trying to take the right steps, but I think clearly getting home the message that it's their responsibility to educate themselves and stay current on the guidance as opposed to
waiting
for someone else to help them with it.
Is that enough info, Scott?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. I'll just keep going.
Until
I can't.
Okay.
Okay, 17-007, I'll make a motion to find insufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0010-sub-1-sub-B due professional care when respondent failed to keep multiple promises regarding completing a client's tax returns.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention?
Great. Case 17-007, I'll make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0020-sub-7-sub-C board communications and investigations when a respondent did not cooperate with board's investigation.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Okay.
Case 17-026, I'll make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0010-sub-1-sub-B due professional care when respondent failed to appear at the Oregon Tax Court on behalf of the client.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention?
I guess on 17-007, I don't feel like it was extremely egregious, but I think that there was, because it doesn't seem like there was an intent not to respond. You know, the fact that we saw that there was an email that was sent, but the licensee didn't confirm that we received it, right, that the board received it. And I guess the fact that they weren't responsive to requests for appointments seemed to be just sort of nonchalant about the process a little bit. Not taking it seriously enough. So I kind of put it in the middle of seriousness.
Yeah, pretty low, just from the standpoint that I get the impression this person may be somewhat scattered in general, and maybe just missed it. I mean, yeah, I don't think there was an intent to, you know, stonewall.
No, that's what I said. I don't think there was intent.
Yeah.
just
not stonewalling.
Just not the diligence in following up.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And with regard to 17-056.
Well, I'd like to throw the book at him. because, I mean, he did a terrible thing. Said he was going to represent a client before the tax court, and then he just didn't show up. So if we can't throw the book at him, throw a baseball, because it's a really bad thing he did. I think we ought to throw a big high fine at him. Maybe suspend part of it if he does something nicer. But he just did a bad, bad thing. And he just needs to know that the board does not take kindly to that.
Thank you. Any other comments? We're ready to move on. Looks like we're ready to move
on. Okay.
It's long enough.
Yeah, 17027, I'll make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0005, sub 2, sub A, integrity and objectivity, and or OAR 801-030-0010, sub 4, tax standards, when the client, or excuse me, when the respondent did not obtain a written waiver and informed consent.
Is that sufficient?
Sufficient, yes.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Any direction?
I mean, it seemed like that the licensee did indicate that they're putting in place some better policies for the future, which I think that's important to for the board to affirm that that's the right thing to do. I'm not sure that they ever accepted the fact that in this case there should have been a waiver put in place. They seemed to think that by resigning when the going got too tough that it was sufficient, but
I think that's probably my issue is that he never really recognized the severity of the conflict.
Is it? In terms of scale, high to low?
There's no evidence of him actually. Favored one party or another, but it's pretty clear to see that there is a conflict and how another party can perceive that. So, medium-ish.
Make sure you keep the ish in there.
Medish.
Medici.
It'll go in the settlement agreement. Medium-ish.
Moving on?
Yep.
All right. Case 17-028, I'll make a motion to find insufficient evidence of a violation in all matters presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any discussion? Sorry. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Drop the mic. Ooh.
Like to make a motion on 17-0.
Do we have to restate comments?
So on the case 17-053,
you cannot make a motion because you're the chair. You need to call.
Oh, sorry. Do we have anybody who can make a motion? Would like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that there is.
Just before everyone votes, there were some conflicts. Are some conflicts of interest that were disclosed, and they are able to vote, but they did not participate. And that is Ms. Lyons and Mr. Sullivan. All right, you go.
All right. I'll make a motion that there is insufficient evidence under ORS 673-170, sub 2, sub B, dishonesty, fraud, or gross negligence in the practice of public accountancy when respondent provided litigation support services.
And that was insufficient?
Got a second. Yep, second.
Oh, insufficient.
There were only two of us that were here.
All those in favor? He seconded.
You need seconded.
You got it.
You got to say all those
you're
in
up.
Favor.
You want me to keep going and do it long?
You have to ask for a vote. Call for the vote.
You call,
oh, you call for
the vote.
Oh, you can
say call for the vote.
You call
the sorry,
motion.
I forgot what role I'm playing here.
Yeah.
Playing the role of the chair. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstain? Okay. Thank you.
I'll make a motion that there is insufficient evidence under ORS 673170. Sub 3 for disclosing of confidential investigatory information.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'll make a motion that there is insufficient evidence under OAR 801-030-005 sub 2 sub A integrity and objectivity when respondent provided litigation support services.
I second.
Any discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. I'll turn it back to you.
All right, moving on to old business. Kimberly, do you have anything to say about the report from the May 10th and 11th board meeting or the report of the April 27th select meeting actions or stuff?
I would, in new business, I'd like to raise something as a board member for consideration of the committee. So, and I'm stepping in the shoes a little bit of committee members here, and if I'm gone there, please tell me otherwise. But when I saw what the agenda was 41 cases to be reviewed, of which 31 were requests for directions, and there's a significant amount of reporting already being done by staff for those to get the requests for directions to come to the committee, mm-hmm. I looked at it and said, I'm lucky I don't have to read those things because I'm not making the decision and I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if the committee feels very fatigued with having all that to have to go through. And there were a fair number of them that were slam dunk yes, slam dunk no's. And I also wanted to make sure we're not getting to a stage where we have the committee, in essence, developing an opinion and looking to build a case to support the opinion that has been developed based on the inquisition or the inquiry. Now we got to open up the case to get there. So I know we're going through this process. We're looking for efficiencies. That was something that was said. Are we really being efficient, or are we absolutely complying with administrative rules or administrative procedures that we have to do these where they all come in front of the committee, especially when they're slam dunk yes or no's? And hopefully I'm speaking for some of the committee members, because I said my last, I can't hardly believe I'm going to have to read all these things. None of them are out of the realm of having to be looked at, but are we accomplishing what we want this committee to do, and are we efficient with staff time because they're developing reports for things that are like, no, don't even go further.
I don't like staff closing things. I don't think it's good to put them in that position.
You don't like, and I can understand that and appreciate it, but as far as the resources of this board and its committee members and its staff, are we allocating all that to the right places? This is a decision I think the board needs to make, but I wanted to bring it up here because, mm-hmm. again, I said part of it is I think I maybe I am, maybe I'm not. If I'm speaking for board member or committee members, this is the place to bring that up.
It was a little arduous this
was.
The last meeting was almost similar. There were
the last two.
Very significant reports, and especially the last committee meeting, it seemed like the committee was very fatigued as it addressed everything.
Yeah. How many pages were there last time? 15,000?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And again, nothing this committee can do about it. I throw it out for staff to consider.
I think it's good to hear opinions about this. I mean, this is like you know, a new process that is getting tried out, if we need to make tweaks, of course, we'll certainly do that and see what we can do. So.
And I think it will go down.
Yeah, as we make progress through the old cases.
Yeah. I would say, sorry to interrupt, but I agree. It's a lot to get through the last two meetings in particular. But I think everybody clearly knew what was going on in every case and made the commitment to get through it. So I'd prefer not to have that much at each meeting at the same time. Because I was the one that said I'm looking for efficiency. And it's because when we come in each meeting and see these things, I'm like, are we getting any?
Right. Are we making?
You saw how old some of those cases
feels
were.
Like
and they were pretty slammed. They were kind of slammed down. So what I'm looking for is, are we getting better? Are these things newer? Are they going on for years? And so we've been on the committee, you know, for a number of years now. It's like, what I'd like to see is less on here.
Which I think is what will happen if we keep doing it.
And that's what I'm kind of talking about from an efficiency standpoint. Can we make some common sense decisions that'll allow us, you know, to...
Because what I can see what happened before, what I can see is like a lot of the old cases, and when I first came on, like a lot of cases would get all the way to the board, I'd be like, how did this even end up here? It shouldn't have even been. So if they can be, you know, cut out now, and somebody on staff doesn't just open a case that should never been opened in the first place.
But the inquiry and reporting documents that are being prepared by staff for this committee to look at, seem to be about 70% of what the investigative report is anyways. There's perhaps a fewer source documents as ORS pages, OAR pages, or whatever. But much of the same information is there. So are we being efficient with staff's time as well? Board time's important. This committee's time's important. But also staff time's important. Now, are all the limited resources this organization has in the oversight of public accounting?
Are there bright line... I guess, steps that staff, because we've got a lot of allegations that come in, and are there, I guess, bright line tests that the staff can use to remove them as an allegation to where they don't even go to an inquiry, because it just is a frivolous allegation, that's all it is. I don't know.
But I think that's where we were sort of running into the problem before, and staff being able to make that.
That's why I ask if there's bright lines. If there's not, then
I think to say the inquiries themselves, like this, or the reporting inquiries, Scott, are now not being handled by investigators at all anymore. Joel is doing them, and so that is like taking, I think, a lot of stuff off of your guys' plate and opened up your abilities to.
Yeah. So on a go forward basis, we would see reports coming from Joel versus from Teresa.
On the reporting inquiries,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Not on the inquiries.
Okay.
Well, and a couple of directors ago.
Yes.
When he was terminated, some folks went through and said, good Lord, look what decisions this man has been making.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think perhaps what we have now is a reaction against that,
mm-hmm.
because you're saying, well, we don't want staff to be doing that. And I agree, we don't. So we've come up with something new here. And the other thing I'd like to say is, wasn't it a couple of months ago we had a meeting and we were done at like 10:30?
Yeah.
I mean, so...
That was before the request for direction.
That was kind of false advertising, because that was before I actually...
That's how we recruited them. It's only a two-hour meeting.
Well, I guess, but doesn't that go to the point that we're getting a little more efficient?
Right, well, we started at 10
and
today.
And we're done at 4.
So we've got a 6, It was a lot of pre-prep meeting.
The committee's time is in reading those reports before they ever hit this room.
Well, and the problem for me personally with that was that I would like have to almost reread it when I got here, because it's like I read it over the last, you know, since we've got it, it's like I got to break it up in sections, and then I'm like, which one was this again? Because it was so voluminous. So then it almost felt somewhat inefficient to have Anthony and Teresa kind of read the synopsis again, but I was also trying to read it. So I want to get through all this old stuff also and make sure everything keeps moving and all of that. There's a balance there that, I don't know what it is.
If we got to the point where it was more current cases, it'd be
I think that's
where we're getting lighter.
We're getting close.
It really has to be what we've done it like this. So, we need to give it a chance.
So it might be a couple more meetings and then it might taper off a little bit. Other feedback on that?
So, as a staff
member, what I've noticed, you know, since Kimberly started, is that we have been really productive. And I'm happy to see that I'm doing mostly 17 cases right now. You know, it's like I don't think I've got any. I think maybe there's maybe one or two cases that are older than that, but mostly I'm doing 17 cases. So. And I'm not sucking up.
Yeah.
But it has been very. It feels very productive.
Helped us with a lot of process changes too, and I think things are just rolling good.
So maybe in terms of the volume, as we just kind of grin and bear it for the next couple meetings, and then it, in theory we should be able to see a kind of a big reduction in this.
I really think so, and there's also a time period where we get more than normal, like renewal period. So
renewals.
Last time we saw the firms, we had just gone through firm renewals. Now we're in renewals. I haven't seen a lot of reporting inquiries coming from individual renewals yet.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're the last ones to file, though.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But there's just an ebb and flow with all the reporting pieces too. So.
How do I, if I look on this report docket, how do I see, where do I see that what cases have not even been started?
Anything that says, where we've just sent, we've received a complaint, you know, we've received
so
approval.
There's 27.
Yes.
Okay. An in process would indicate that you're working on it and it has not come to the BOAC yet.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then BOAC means it's ready to come to the BOAC.
Okay.
What's our typical time frame? I guess do we have a, when we say, look, when we do these, it's, we need to have it wrapped up in 3 months, 6 months, or is it just, if it took 5 years, it takes five
mm-hmm.
years?
I do think we track that.
Do we?
Yes, but some of the numbers are going to be skewed because we have those 13 cases, you know, 13
right.
and 15. So, but yeah, you track that.
It's been part of the key performance measurements
right, yeah.
we give to the legislature.
Yeah.
So it's available to be tracked. Yeah,
yeah.
And it has
yeah.
been tracked in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know, we've also. Look at that and said sometimes that's beyond the control of this organization to deal with it. It's how responsive it is the respondent to things, and they can really delay things too.
We've tried to clean those up so it's, you know, we can get good data without having all the things that can happen in an investigation. So And last year we went down, but that was because we were dealing with all the old cases, so it made our numbers look skewed. It was like, looks like really bad numbers, but it's actually really good numbers because we got to all those old cases. So.
Well, that's one thing with the reporting, doing the reporting number two, just going back to people not responding, that actually helps a lot, is that instead of like opening an investigation and you're doing an investigation and somebody's not reporting and not reporting, and you've got this like investigation, you're trying to investigate, you've got some pieces or whatever, but like then it gets to the board and it's like, you know, whereas like right now we can look at, you guys can look at it and say, well, they're not reporting, so, or they're not responding, so we can at least just move forward on that and like clear those ones out, you know, like so we're not sitting around waiting. I mean, it helps to move, I think it helps move some of these cases forward. On the inquiry docket too, the, this should say reporting inquiry docket, but a bunch of these are gonna come off because the board delegated authority at the last meeting to deal with these that if there's no nexus to Oregon, we can get rid of. So well, how many were on that list? A lot. Remember?
I think
maybe
more, I think a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
But yes, so a lot of those would go away.
And then the ones that have their nexus.
But these pink pages are the regular inquiries and the reporting inquiries. So the subtotals for the regular inquiries is on page 5.
Oh, these are cases. Gotcha. We didn't separate them out. We don't have to separate.
It's inquiries and reporting inquiries.
All mixed together.
They're stapled together, but
gotcha.
They're separate reports.
Gotcha.
They are, yeah.
And some of these will come off now because they were included in today's.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
So those are good.
And, again, just for public consumption, I wasn't taking action with anything that staff is doing. I just wanted to make sure that what had been put into place was accomplishing what really we wanted to have take place. I commend staff for everything that they've done. I commend the committee for everything that they do.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, seriously, that we've been kind of through the ringer, but with promises that it'll get better.
So, also, everything that comes, so we, I don't know if you understand, or this body understands the process, but we meet as a team. Mm-hmm. Kimberly, Angie, Anthony, myself, and Joel meet as a team once a week. And we consider all the complaints that have come in since the prior week. And sometimes stuff that we've received, we just have no jurisdiction. And we don't even bother to open up an inquiry on them. So anytime that there's like a question, then we open up an inquiry.
Yeah. Okay, old business. Anything you want to specifically touch on there?
Yeah. Give an update on how the actions the board took as compared to committee's recommendations.
I don't have that.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mentioned earlier that, you know, I commend the committee for work that it does. I speak for the full board. If they only knew how much time, certainly the last two committee meetings have time commitment that's taken pre-meeting, they'd commend you even more, but I say that. So with respect to the cases, pretty much across the board, there were findings in accordance with what you had recommended. One very interesting case was there was two cases. One of an individual had a suspended license who was working for a CPA firm, and then the CPA firm that was employing that person. And the issue was whether that was a violation, and this committee had to think a little bit hard about how to get there and said, yes, there was. And in consultation, actually at the board meeting, council and I participate in this process, we figured out there's nothing in the rules that say that a suspended person cannot work, or a statute even cannot work. There's rules on revoked, lapsed, suspended perhaps even, but not suspended. Everything but suspended is addressed what they can do. So there really was no statutory or regulatory prohibition on having a CPA firm employ a suspended person. So that's been submitted to the Laws and Rules Committee to develop some language on that and be a perhaps a more robust discussion of who and what, as opposed to piecemeal, who and what can work for a CPA firm. So that was one. The board basically administratively closed those two cases because there was just no way to get there to say that that person had been wrong, nor then was the firm aiding and abetting or acting in advancement of somebody else's bad habits. And then there was another one where there was a case where the individual reported their lawsuit late by some reasonably short period of time. The committee took a position, yeah, that was a violation, but people didn't seem to be real excited about that, and the board administratively closed that with a letter of concern. And then there was one other case with an individual that had not prepared an LLC tax return for a married couple. There was quite a bit of discussion at the BOAT with respect to that. There had been a recommendation it was a violation. When it got to the board, we were down a person and ended up a split vote, and the motion failed that there was sufficient evidence at that point. So it was a 3-3 vote. So that wasn't that discarded it. We just couldn't quite get there at that point. But other than that, all the other cases were spot on with what this committee had come up with.
Anything to discuss in old business? Any announcements?
We have two new licensing staff members since the last time we met. What was that, April? Yeah. So So we have two new licensing specialists. One is Stacy James. She comes from private industry to us. And then we have Ian Cobb, who came from another state agency. And then, I don't know if you know or have said this, but Julie took the licensing manager position that I used to hold. So she's been working here for a few years now, three or four, something. So we're happy to have her in that position. So we're fully staffed. Oh, and we have a new BOAC member joining. His name is Greg Young.
Greg Rogers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Greg Rogers. And then we've been following up with some of your recommendations. Okay. So thank you so much for those.
Anybody else have anybody on our
How many open spots are we filling?
So we have six with the new guy, and I'd like to get at least five more. I think we should have more. Right. Okay. He's like 11.
Okay. There's not like a there's not like a hard and fast number.
No.
Okay.
Well, is Bill Holmes ever going to come back?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No.
Right now.
Okay. Well, he's still on the committee, isn't he?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was
okay, but he's just always conflicted.
Are you? When were you on the bill?
I was just curious because I didn't know. I hadn't seen him.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Next meeting will be September 28th. It will be fall.
We'll be fall. We'll go up in the holidays.